Today on Bold Steps, we're discovering just how powerful an attitude of gratitude can really be.
The predisposition of people that love God, regardless of their circumstances, they are people of hope and they are people of joy, and things can be going bad, but they still believe in the goodness and the power of Almighty God.
And welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago and Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, also in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and I'm going to start today's program with a personal question. When was the last time you stopped and thanked God, celebrating all that He's done in your life? If you don't know the answer, or it's been a while, don't feel bad, you're not alone. But Mark, today you're going to unveil the surprising power that's found in the habit of gratitude and thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, Wayne? I try to do that every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so easy to get bogged down with all the worries, concerns, issues.
Yeah.
But there's something powerful about starting with praise and thanksgiving.
Lord, thanks for waking me up.
I do. And I do that on a regular basis because it's good for my soul and because God deserves it. God deserves it. But it's also good for me to rehearse what I'm grateful for before I start tackling what is an issue or what I'm concerned about. I want to challenge you again with this message to begin to develop the habit of ongoing thanksgiving and gratitude.
Lord, what would you have me do for your kingdom today?
Yeah.
Great way to start the day. Okay, here's that message, Habit of Gratitude and Thanksgiving on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
I believe that our positivity, our ability to rejoice, is grounded in the fact that God is sovereign, even though life can be rough sometimes. God is good, even though your car dies out sometimes. He's in control, even though your job doesn't always work out the way you want it to. And so, as a believer, we have two ways of looking at life. We can look at everything that's wrong, and we can spend a lot of time focusing on what's wrong, what we don't have, what is going bad, and we can develop a spirit of complaining, of negativity, of grumbling, or we can live on the other half and we can look at everything that's right because God is in control. Everything that's good, because ultimately just God will bring about justice. And so he says, as a believer, he says, I want you to have a spirit that constantly finds good to celebrate, because in Christ Jesus, there's always something good to celebrate. Do you realize that grumbling and complaining has major detrimental effects on your life? Do you remember that the people of Israel were liberated from 400 years of slavery under the Egyptians? They were beat down. They were treated as property. Their rights were taken away. They were abused for 400 years, and finally, God brought Moses to set them free. He used supernatural plagues to bring the Pharaoh to his knees, and then the people of Israel were released to go to the promised land. They celebrated their liberation. They were happy. They rejoiced. They sang. They danced. And then they went through the desert, and God said to them, now I'm going to take you into the promised land that I have taken you out of slavery to take you to. And they looked at the land and they looked at the battle they had to face. They sent spies out into the land and they came back and they started grumbling and complaining that it was going to be too hard, that they didn't know how they were going to overcome the enemy. And the Bible says, and the people grumbled against Moses and they grumbled against God. Listen. A journey that should have taken them 11 days ended up taking them 40 years because of their grumbling and complaining. Can you hear me? Okay, this is important. 11-day journey turned into 40 years. God said, you want to grumble? You want to moan? You want to complain about it? I'm going to take you the long way around. Ah, this old house. I wish I had a new house. This door barely works, and our neighbor got something, and I can't stand this, and the roof, and the yard, and where you're living. God says, you want to grumble? I'm going to keep you there another 20 years. Till you learn a little gratitude. I believe that grumbling always delays our journey. Always delays our journey. Grumbling and complaining usually delays the very things that we long for and want and desire. Because they're the opposite of faith and opposite of thanksgiving. In fact, can I tell you something? Let me just say this. I think this is a principle that applies. When people, I just did a seminar on dating and courtship recently to a bunch of singles, and I said to them, you know, when you are discontent in your singleness, when you complain about it, grumble about it, moan about it, how difficult and this is not, and you're just on holding pattern and waiting, you wish you had someone, you don't know where they're going to show up, and why is God taking so long, and how long is this going to be, and when are you going to find the right person, and you're unhappy and discontent, usually it has the opposite effect. It pushes people away and delays the journey to courtship, because who wants to be around someone that's miserable? And when you're unhappy and grumbling, when you're discontent, it's usually the worst time to engage in a relationship, because you feel like, I need this, I grab onto this, I want this, as opposed to, I am happy and satisfied in God, and I can choose a good relationship and a healthy relationship because I am content in God. I know who I am. I'm thankful for my circumstance. I'm a joyful person, and I attract other people to my life rather than I'm a miserable, complaining, groaning individual. Why would anybody want to date you? And so I want you to notice that when we grumble, when we complain, when we moan, it usually has the opposite effect on the people around us and the opposite effect on our life. It takes us the long journey to the promised land. It usually delays our arrival to the destination that we're looking for. I talk to women all the time and say, how you doing? Yeah, well, my husband. And they'll go on, my husband does this, doesn't know how to love me, nurture me. He doesn't do this and doesn't do that. I wish he was a man of God, and I wish he could improve this and this. And he has a terrible attitude, and we don't get along, and there's no unity here. There's no love between us. And he seems like he always just wants to be away from the house. Excuse me, ma'am. 5 minutes around you, I would want to be away from the house, too. I mean, if when he comes home, you're negative and complaining and looking at every fault and bringing it up and talking about how miserable life is and what he needs to do and how he's not doing this. Listen, the very opposite thing that you desire is going to happen, because instead of bringing him close, instead of saying, hey, I want to hang out with you, who wants to hang out with someone that's always complaining? Who wants to be around someone that always feels miserable? Who wants to say, yeah, let's go on vacation together and just experience misery together in a sunny place? I'm talking to someone here today. And I guess what I'm telling you is that God says, you say, well, that, hey, Pastor, you say, oh, I hear it. Pastor, that's just my personality. Don't use your personality as an excuse for sinful behavior. Because complaining, grumbling, criticism, negativity is not a personality. Well, Pastor, I'm just a realist. No, you're negative. I just look at the glass half empty. No, you're just complaining. Well, I'm just a realist. No one wants to face the facts. No, you're grumbling. The predisposition of people that love God, regardless of their circumstances, is that they are people of hope, and they are people of joy, and they are people that celebrate the goodness of God regardless of the circumstances. Listen, they are people that have a joy in their spirit, a love in their heart, and things can be going bad, but they still believe in the goodness and the power of Almighty God. Amen? And so the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Anybody can rejoice when things are going well. It takes a supernatural sort of predisposition on depending on the goodness of God to rejoice when things aren't going well. But listen to some of these verses. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Psalms 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What is it? It's just a new day. And I'm just going to choose to rejoice because it's a day that God has made. What is today? What day? Let me tell you what it is. It's the day the Lord has made. And because the Lord has made this day, we're going to rejoice and be glad because He is God and He made it. Yeah. Yes, the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 97:12 says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to His holy name. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, that means what happens when the Spirit of God is inside of us, is that we start to produce love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. The second fruit that is mentioned is the fruit of joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that it is incumbent upon us as believers that we look to the goodness of God, and in God we choose to celebrate what is going good in our life, to celebrate that God is on the throne and in control, that we look for things to rejoice in as opposed to looking what we can grumble about. We choose to celebrate life and celebrate what God is doing, even when not everything is going like we want it to go. You say, well, when should we do that? Well, Scripture says always. Continually. This is the preset disposition of our heart. Secondly, the second habit that he says, rejoice always, verse 17, pray continually. Pray continually. Now, for some people, you say, well, how can I always pray, Pastor? Well, the idea here is pray consistently without big gaps in between. In other words, do not lag in your prayer. It doesn't mean that 24 hours a day you're praying. It just means that you are continually in a continuous motion, not leaving a lot of interruption in between. What does that mean? That means that when you're driving, you can pray. That means when you're at work, you can pray. That means when you're just walking to work, you can pray. That means when you're cooking, you can pray. That means when you're at work, you can pray. You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand that. How can I pray? I thought when I prayed, I have to get on my knees, fold my hands, pray out loud, close my eyes. Please don't do that while you're driving. What it's telling us is that, well, the use of your voice is not essential when you pray. Do you know that you can pray in your head? You say, well, how can I pray in my head? Because God reads your thoughts.
Stay tuned because Mark will continue this lesson in a moment. This is Bold Steps with Mark Job, a message about the habit of gratitude and thanksgiving. We'd like to remind you that if you happen to miss any of our daily teachings on the radio or want to revisit a message, you can always do that by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. Or for easy listening straight from your phone, just open up your podcast app and subscribe to the Bold Steps podcast. You'll find us by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Job. And don't forget to connect with us through your Facebook or Instagram account by searching for Bold Steps Radio. Be sure to like and subscribe to our pages while you're there. And you can also find us on YouTube, where you'll discover Mark's new video series called What Does the Bible Say About? With topics ranging from who is Jesus to establishing good habits in your life. Find us today by searching on YouTube for Bold Steps Radio or by typing in youtube.com/@Bold Steps Radio. All right, now here's Mark once again with today's lesson on gratitude.
So you can pray in your head. You know, you don't have to walk into work saying, "Thank you, Jesus, I bless your name," and walk in the office saying, "I bless your name, Jesus, I'm praying for my coworkers. They really need you today." No, you can pray that in your head. I think it's better if you pray it in your head. It also means that the posture or position that you pray in is not essential. You don't have to kneel. You don't have to raise your hands. You could be walking and praying. You can be cooking and praying. You can be driving and praying. In other words, prayer goes beyond just a certain posture, a certain time, a certain position. The place of prayer doesn't matter. Wherever you're at, you can make this place a place of prayer. The particular time that you pray is not that important either. And of course, closing your eyes doesn't make you don't have to close your eyes to pray. You say, "Well, why do we close our eyes when we pray?" Well, the Bible never says close your eyes to pray. We close our eyes just because, you know, we get distracted sometimes. And especially before a meal, you know, you're looking at the food. And so it's a good thing to raise your eyes to heaven, to raise your hands when you can, to kneel when you can. But prayer is something that you engage continuously in. And here's what he's telling us. Pray continually or consistently, because when you are in constant contact with God, and remember, it's threefold staccato, rejoice. So you're thinking about the character of God. You're rejoicing in the Lord that he's in control. And you're talking to God about things on a regular basis. "Lord, my job is tough, but I'm trusting that you're going to empower me to be able to work at my job. Lord, this coworker really drives me crazy. And I just pray that you give me some patience with this coworker, just like you've been patient with me. Thank you, Lord, that you are good." You're in this conversation with the God of the universe. You're praying, you're interceding, you're thanking, you're lifting your request before God. You're in contact with the God of the universe that has the power to transform this world. You're in contact with your heavenly Father that brings heaven to earth. You're in contact with the Father. You don't just come to church on Sunday and say, "Oh, hello, God." You take God with you. You converse with God. He convicts you, empowers you, speaks to you. And so you are consistently engaging in prayer throughout the day, because it is one of those habits that has a ripple effect on everything that you do. Everything that you do. And so the Bible says, consistently pray. Don't let long gaps be between that. This is not something you just engage in prayer meetings. This is something that is a keystone habit in your life that allows the Spirit of God, and when you pray, the Spirit of God uses your prayer, speaks to you when you pray, empowers you when you pray. It makes you conscious of the presence of God. Sometimes I believe what happens with our life is we become unconscious to the presence of God. But if you're constantly saying, "Lord, thank you for this day. Look at that beautiful sunset. Thank you that you made the sun, Lord. I appreciate. Wow, what a beautiful God. You painted the star. You painted this landscape just for me. We bless you today, God. Thank you that I have a warmth in my house. Lord, you are the provider of all things." You know what it does? It starts reminding you that God is on the throne, that God is there, that God is in control, that God is supreme, that God is good, that God loves you, that God is a part of your life. It just changes the way you view life. Because you're constantly acknowledging the presence of God. That's one of our greatest challenges, to live our life with the acknowledgement of the presence of God. And so he says, pray consistently. In all things, continue to pray. And then lastly, number three, I'm talking about rejoice always, pray continually, and then number three, the habit of consistently giving thanks. Notice what he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, thank God for everything. He says, in everything, give thanks. There's a difference between giving thanks in all circumstances and thanking God for all things. You know the difference. In other words, when your dog gets run over by a car, it's not, thank God he got run over by the car. Some of you may want to say that. But it's, God, even though my dog got run over by the car, I'm going to thank you, Lord. It's been a bad day, but I thank you that you're in control and you have all things under your power. Do you get the difference? One is giving thanks in all circumstances, regardless. Anybody can give thanks when things are going well. You hear good news, you got a promotion. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You won a prize. Thank you, God. You got good grades. Thank you, Lord. That's easy. But he says, I want you to choose to give thanks in all circumstances, good and bad. Continually, in all circumstances. And there's right now, even if you're in a bad situation, you say, well, Pastor, how can I give thanks in this bad situation? Because you're looking beyond the situation, you're going to the character of God, and you're saying, life may be tough, but you are still good, God. And so I bless you, I thank you, I honor you. I'm giving thanks to your holy name, even though this is a tough time in my life.
That's Mark Jobe here on Bold Steps, in the middle of a message about the power that's found in the habit of gratitude and thanksgiving. We'll continue with the third and final part on tomorrow's program. But before then, we encourage you to visit our website and check out this month's powerful and timely Bold Step gift by going online to boldstepsradio.org. Right now, we're offering Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, We Will Not Be Silenced. And to get a better understanding of why this read is so timely, let me turn it back over to Mark and Dr. Lutzer.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Again, we have once again in our studio our friend, a great friend of Moody, pastored Moody Church for 36 years and just still active and preaching all over the place. Hard to keep up with this man, but he's in the studio right now because we want to talk about a book that he wrote called We Will Not Be Silenced. You know, a lot of people, Erwin, believe that as Christians, we don't want to offend people, so they silence their voice in order not to offend people or turn them away from Christianity. Talk to me about your approach about truth and love.
Yes, that's a difficult balance, but I want to share with you that most people don't understand communication. People listen with their hearts as much as they do with their minds. Mm. So if you try to convince people simply by their minds, you know, ram it in, cram it in, people's heads are hollow, ram it in, cram it in, make sure there's more to follow, what you might receive is backlash. On the other hand, if all that you do is communicate with their hearts, you might be sacrificing truth. It is possible to do both, truth and love. And sometimes we get it wrong, but that's our goal, and that's our scriptural command.
Yeah. And I want to say, by the way, just a personal testimony, Pastor Lutzer pastored for 36 years here in the city of Chicago, a very liberal, progressive city, not necessarily the heart of the Bible belt. And yet the testimony, even in this city, has been of a man that has spoken truth, but in a gracious way. So I want to thank you for that. He's written a book called We Will Not Be Silenced. I highly recommend it, especially if you're struggling with how do I engage in this culture? How do I speak and not silence my voice at a time where really Christians need to be speaking up? And we would love to put a copy of this book in your hands.
We sure would. Just go online to boldstepsradio.org to make your donation and request this Bold Step gift. Or call us at 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. You can also send your gift through the mail and ask for the book by writing to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. By the way, you can mail any questions or feedback you have for Mark to that same address. We always appreciate hearing from our audience, and we encourage you to reach out to us today, even if you've never done so before. You can send a handwritten letter through the mail or use the Ask a Question link on our website. Just go to boldstepsradio.org. Well, I'm Wayne Shepherd, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the final part of today's message titled The Habit of Gratitude and Thanksgiving. It's coming up Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.